This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome to our lesson today. We're certainly glad you've tuned us in. We're glad you're in our audience. Now, if you would like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and website address again at the close of the program. But you can go to bdcministries.com and find these programs back for at least 10 years, and you can also re-listen to the current program there. So you might want to get my mailing address and website address so that you can either write to me or re-listen to the programs or use some of the material that is on the website. Now, we have been going through the prophecies connected with the Lord Jesus, the Old Testament prophecies that were fulfilled in the New Testament, that have been recorded as fulfilled in the New Testament. And we've been doing that because we're finishing up our study in 2 Peter, where Peter says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we can't really grow in grace, that is, in the unmerited favor that God bestows upon us through salvation, and that he wants us to reflect in our lives to others after we're saved. We can't grow in grace or in graciousness without having a good understanding of who the Lord is, who the Lord was, and who the Lord will be. And so as we look at these prophecies, they give us not only confidence that the Bible itself is the very Word of God, but they give us an understanding of the work and person of the Lord Jesus. And last time, as we were looking at these prophecies, we looked at the fact that when the Lord was born, Herod tried to destroy him. He heard that when the wise men from the east came, there was going to be, that they were coming to worship the king of the Jews. And he figured by what they had told him that if he killed the children around Bethlehem that were 2 years old and younger, he would eliminate the Christ child. And so we showed that while the people from the east actually believed in the Lord Jesus, we can see that Herod believed about him. He had confidence that there might be some truth to what was being said, but he tried to resist the Word of God. And that's what concerns me as I proclaim the gospel on the radio and in other places. My concern is that there will be people who will hear the gospel and who will resist it, thinking that even if it's true, they're not accountable to the Creator God that we have seen come into this world, that they think that they can get around some way God's plain statement that he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. The plain statement that condemnation is due to unbelief. He that believeth, John 3:18 says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So we hope that you're paying attention to the truth of Scripture, the scriptural reasons for believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that as you come to understand who the Lord is, you'll not only trust him, but you will reflect him in your life. So last time we were dealing with the fact that the massacre of these children would take place and there would be great sorrow because of the birth of the Lord. Now today I want to read from Isaiah 40 of starting at verse 3, because now we're going to look at the fact that there would be a messenger who would prepare the way for Messiah. In Isaiah 40 and verse 3, we read, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. And according to Luke, that was fulfilled when the Lord came. It was fulfilled not in the person of the Lord Jesus, but it was fulfilled in the person of John the Baptist, who was the forerunner, the herald of the coming king. A king in that day, when he traveled, always had a forerunner that went ahead of him, a herald that went before him and saying, the king is coming, the king is coming. And thus people were prepared to come and see him. Perhaps if he had a parade, they would line the streets and the king was coming. Well, in this case, John the Baptist was that herald. He was the one who was heralding the coming king. The only difference is that most people didn't understand what he was saying, and so there was not the reception for this king that there would have been for an earthly king. And in Luke chapter 3 and verse 4 we read, "As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." And so in Luke's gospel we find out that that statement from Isaiah 40 applies to John the Baptist, who of course preached that people needed to repent and show fruits meet for repentance. And repentance, of course, always has to do with a change of mind and attitude. And the repentance that John was looking for was a turning back to the worship of Jehovah. But if there was a turning back to the worship of Jehovah, it would be seen in the way people acted, and they would treat their fellow men right, and soldiers would treat the people that they were a guarding right, and we'd find out that there would be a tendency on the part of society to be ordered in a proper way. And so John the Baptist heralded the coming Messiah. He was born 6 months before the Lord was born, and he proclaimed the fact that this prophecy was fulfilled through him. But not only did the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 40 indicate that there would be a voice crying in the wilderness, and that that voice would be, in many cases, just words that would be sown into the air and that would be meaningless to the people of Israel. But not only was John the Baptist preaching that the Messiah was coming, but we find out that it was predicted that the Messiah would be rejected. And this is a very important point. He would be rejected by his own people. I'm going to read from Psalm 69 and verse 7. It says there, and I think David wrote this psalm, "Because for your sake I have borne reproach, shame has covered my face. I have become a stranger to my brothers, and an alien or a foreigner to my mother's children. Because zeal for your house has eaten me up, and the reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen on me." Now, of course, the first interpretation has to do with that being David's experience, but it's quite clear when we come to the New Testament that it is also the experience of the Lord. "The reproaches of those who reproach you have fallen upon me." And so the Lord ended up being rejected and crucified. And Isaiah 53 and verse 3 again deals with this very issue. "He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him." Now, if you would go with me to John chapter 1, we would see that in John chapter 1 and verse 11, John records that he came unto his own, and his own did not receive him. Now, his own would be his own people. His own did not receive him. And if we were to read from John chapter 7 and verse 5, even his brothers did not receive him. And it says there, "For even his brothers did not believe in him." Apparently, those in his own household, apart from Mary, and I don't really know about Joseph, I suppose it would be apart from Mary and Joseph, those who were born in his own household as half-brothers and half-sisters apparently did not believe that he was the Messiah, even though they must have seen a child that was much different from them, a child who had insight into the Scriptures, who obeyed, who was gracious. This is something they must have resented. But anyway, his own brethren did not believe in him. But even though he came unto his own and his own did not receive him, John 1 and verse 12 gives us a little brighter picture of this whole thing. It says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." And so those who did receive him became children of God. Before we receive him, We are children of wrath. We are children of disobedience. And many people would like to say that we all are born as children of God. And I know what they mean is that God created us all. But biblically, we are not children of God until the moment we come to trust in the Lord Jesus as our Savior. And it's interesting that many people look at this word received and they use it in a way that it's not used here, at least. As many as received him, to them gave he the right to become children of God, and you receive him by believing in his name. Now, when you believe in his name, it's more than just believing about him. We've already shown that there's a difference between the belief of the wise men who came from the east and the belief of Herod. There was a difference between them, but the word believe would probably be applied to both groups in our vernacular. But we have to believe in his name. What does believing in his name imply? Well, if I were to receive a check from you and you were to sign your name to it, the bank would give me the right to get money based on that check because your name is signed to the check. It gives them the authority to release the money. A name has that kind of authority. And of course, a name has a reputation associated with it. If I were to take a check from you and I knew that you didn't usually write good checks, I'd probably hand it back and say, "You don't have a reputation for writing good checks. I don't want a check. I want cash." And so there's authority associated with the name, and there's a reputation associated with the name. The character of people are associated with their name. And so we often say, "Well, my name is Collins," and people say, "Well, you know, those Collinses, they're just like that. They're very stubborn and very opinionated, and they think that they're always right." Well, that's probably true about Collins's, as a matter of fact. I'd like to believe that I study things out and that when I tell you you must be born again, that I'm telling you the truth and that I am right with regard to that. But nevertheless, that's the character of the person who goes with that name, and maybe the whole family that goes with that name. And so when we believe on the name of the Lord, it's much deeper than just saying, "Oh, that sounds good. I'll sign up. I'll say I'm a Christian. And if it works out, fine. If it doesn't work out, fine too." No. When we believe on the name of the Lord Jesus, we're believing he tells the truth. We're believing that he does what he says he's going to do. We believe that he's got the character of God about him. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him by trusting in him, to them gave he power to become the children of God. And dear friend, I want to ask you, have you rejected him, either subtly, socially, or in some other way? Or have you, in simple trusting faith, believed on his name and received him and become a child of God? And when you're a child of God, you have everlasting life. And I hope that's the case with all of my listeners today. Now, our Heavenly Father, we do ask you to bless our lesson today and to bless those who have listened. We thank thee for salvation through faith in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.com. Now, I've given you bdcministries.faithweb.com for years, but both work. bdcministries.com, and we do thank you for listening.